the option to deliver life-changing.
It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, hello again, everybody. Patrick Johnson here with you. It's nice to have you along. Patrick Johnson Show here on 94.3 The Game. And the IBX media app on this gorgeous Thursday. The weather couldn't be any better. It is just beautiful. It's wonderful to have you with us as it's a Mully Thursday. Mike Mullis is going to be with us. We're going to talk ECU baseball with the Mull Man coming up in just a little bit. Mully will be on the call tomorrow night for ESPN Plus. And, of course, we'll have all of the action for you on 94.3 The Game this weekend, beginning at 5:45 tomorrow night with the pregame show between game one of the series, ECU and USF. We'll talk about that. A lot to get into here today. First, let me start by showing you these just wonderful hats. Carolina Outdoor Journal hat. There's hat one. And here is hat two, which is really sweet. And thanks to Joe Albee for passing these along to me. Joe and his wife, Deborah, brought him, and I appreciate it. This is the hat they gave to Buscemi, and upped and vanished. But Joe brought me some replacement hats. A little maintenance on the fairway there, Dom. Dom Kosolke producing.
Hello, sir.
Dom, we got a lot to get to here. I got something very exciting for you. I know there's something you got to go do for me here real quick.
So. I'm about to. I thought maybe you'd talk to me for a second. I thought maybe you'd like to speak.
Instead of blowing you off like I was about to do.
Yeah, I felt like that's what you were going to do. So I was
How
about
did it
to
feel
leave.
Today, Dom, not to have an exam?
It felt nice. I actually went to the pool with my girlfriend for a little bit, and my pale self got very red on my arms and shoulders.
Did you get burned?
Yeah, and I wasn't out for very long. It's kind of embarrassing. And I wore sunscreen. I don't know how it happened. No matter what, I'm burnt every time.
And you're from Wilmington.
Yep, that's the irony of it.
It's the great irony of it. Now, did your girlfriend, does she get tan pretty easy?
She gets more tan than me. She's not super tan, but she gets...
It doesn't sound like that takes much.
No, does not.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you crazy kids had a good time. Is she going home for the summer, or what's going on?
Yeah, she's going to Cary for the summer, and I'm going to be here, and, you know, Wilmington as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you going to see her in Cary any, or what?
Yeah, sometimes. It's her birthday next week, so I'll be there next week.
You know,
so.
My birthday's next week, Dom.
I did not know that. That's good to know.
I've only talked about it the previous 3 days that you've been here producing, but...
I don't recall.
Yeah, you don't listen.
I'm pretty locked in on making sure everything's right for your show. So
good answer. Good answer.
There's a lot more important things than, you know, listening to the little stuff you say more than the sports stuff.
So on Tuesday, my birthday, we will have a lead into the game between Duke and ECU in baseball, and we're going to have John Gilbert as our special guest. So he'll be with us that day. Also on Monday, not only we talked to Cliff Godwin coming out of the weekend, as Igo and I normally do, but we're going to have Mike Houston in the studio. So Coach Houston on the first day, first part of the show on Monday. And then we're going to talk to Rob Maloney one day next week, Pitt County Director of Athletics, about some of the things we told you about near the end of the show yesterday, the High School Athletic Association dividing into 8 classifications and making the decision to take the top 32 and put them in a big 32 format. Thank you, Dom. Dom getting me some water there. Like a good producer should. You think Pilkington would ever go get me water? No. He'd let me sit here and be parched. Not you, Dom. You may not know anything about my birthday, but you know I don't need to be parched.
Well, I know it's your birthday on Tuesday now, and I won't forget it.
All right, there you go.
So well, when's my birthday? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Doesn't matter, Dom. I don't speak to the help. I just demand stuff from the help.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't on the
Is it
bad
October?
End.
I'm going to say October 17th.
Not even close. It's Valentine's Day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Valentine's baby.
Well, there you go. Did the parents plan it like that, Dom?
That's exactly what they wanted.
Really?
No.
Well, let's stick with that story. That's what they were hoping for.
It's pretty cool.
Do you have any siblings, Dom?
I'm an only child.
That explains a lot, too.
You know, I've been told it doesn't seem like I'm actually an only child.
No, it doesn't, actually.
Yeah, I share. I'm a pretty nice guy.
I have more of an only child attitude than you probably do. And yeah. I'm not an only child.
Yeah, I agree. No offense.
No. I own my, I wouldn't say flaws. I own my character.
Yeah. No flaws. It's just a part of you.
I'm just a selfish person. All right. Big news yesterday. This was filed. We talked about it this morning. In the North Carolina House, there has been a bill, an act to require eligible constituent institutions of the University of North Carolina to regularly compete against one another in football and basketball. Essentially, what this is saying is North Carolina and North Carolina State consistently play home-and-home games in football, which should happen. Men's basketball, I think that's the thing that could be the tough part here. And women's basketball, which does happen occasionally, with NC State and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill regularly playing East Carolina, Appalachian State, and Charlotte. The purpose of this is to ensure the eligible constituent institutions of the University of North Carolina regularly compete against one another in eligible sports. For purposes of this section, I'm just reading from the bill here, the following definition shall apply: eligible constituent institution, a constituent institution of the University of North Carolina that fields a high-level football team. Football, men's and women's basketball, enrollment institution, an eligible constituent institution with a full-time equivalent enrollment the fall semester of 23-24, a year of 30,000 or more undergraduate and graduate students. High-level football, a football team that competes in the bowl subdivision of Division I competition of the NCAA, or a successor grouping that presents the highest level of football competition in the U.S. This should happen in football. I don't think there's any two ways about that. I think basketball becomes a little bit of a slippery slope because the University of North Carolina is not going to play on the home floor of any of these institutions. You might get a one-off with each of them, but I can't see that happening. I know East Carolina's tried to schedule games up in Raleigh with NC State and in Chapel Hill with UNC. And with North Carolina, they're booked a couple years out. And, you know, North Carolina is always going to play in a high-profile MTE. They're always going to play in that made-for-television deal where they travel, and it's Kentucky, UCLA, Ohio State, and North Carolina, that CBS thing. And they may play one other neutral site kind of game a year. So, I mean, they're already, if they're not going to go and play a true road game anywhere except maybe in the ACC, SEC Challenge now. Before that, they're not going on the road. I mean, and nor is Duke for that matter, but North Carolina's not going on the road to play anywhere before the ACC unless deemed by television. So, I mean, I think the idea of even North Carolina State coming to Greenville in basketball, in men's basketball, is a little pie in the sky here. Now, this has some heavies behind it in the House. Remains to be seen what's going to happen in the Senate. And you got Jason Sane. Now, Sane's the guy who basically got sports gambling in North Carolina done. And he's the appropriations chair. He controls a lot of money. So I think as far as football goes, this could happen. We'll see if it happens in basketball. Maybe there will be an enticement to play among these schools, but you probably play in Raleigh or in Chapel Hill. I could see the two going to Charlotte, but maybe playing at the Cable Box, the Spectrum Center, and playing Charlotte as the home team. And, I mean, maybe you do an MTE or a two-day event, round robin, something like that. State would play App in game one. North Carolina would play Charlotte in game two, and then you flip them the next day, and then, you know, East Carolina rotates in there. Maybe you do that every couple years in Charlotte or somewhere. That'd be a good thing, you know, for the economy. But the football thing to me is huge. And I think that because football, and you have the possible next Speaker of the House, Destin Hall, who's an App State guy. You have Sane, who's the appropriations chair where all the money comes out of. You got a little bit of juice behind this. Sane's a Charlotte guy, but he has been to ECU games and he loves East Carolina. The guy, Destin Hall, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House for Tim Moore after December, after the November election, more than likely will be the next Speaker of the House. He's an App State guy. So I think they understand the importance of at least football playing those institutions. I think the basketball is a novel concept, but I just don't think it happens, to be quite honest with you. I think that's a tough putt, and I think it's something that just does not go down. We'll see. It's got to get some support in the Senate. Now, the Senate is more interested in medical marijuana and casinos, but I don't think you're going to run into opposition in the Senate like you would with the current Speaker, Tim Moore. He's a Carolina fanboy, and I think he would do anything. Because, look, I can tell you this. The Board of Trustees at North Carolina State and University of North Carolina Chapel Hill this morning, they were hitting the roof. They don't want this. But it should happen in football. The Cadillac man, Mac Brown, doesn't want it. Dave Doran doesn't want it in his heart of hearts. And I do think there is a little bit of ability for this to happen because you are involving Charlotte and App State in it. And these, along with ECU, are the next three biggest institutions after North Carolina and North Carolina State. So we'll follow that. We asked Jason Sane to come on the show today or sometime, and he hasn't responded back yet as we sit here right now. But as soon as he does, we'll get him on. Because I think this is going to be interesting to get his perspective on this. And, you know, Sane was great with sports gambling. Didn't get it through the first go-around, but he didn't stop. He did all the work between legislative sessions that you needed to do to get it passed. I also think it helped that you got some younger blood in the North Carolina legislature. The next time it came up, you had people that were a little more hip to the game. And I think you've got more representation other than just NC State and North Carolina people in there. You've got more App State people, more Charlotte people in there. People from those parts of the county, or the state rather, have that kind of juice now. So, yeah, I think this is there's a real possibility this could go down and this could happen. So we'll see. It is the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game. We'll continue to follow this. Lots to talk about always. Never a dull moment in the world of sports. Some big announcements coming up over the next few weeks. We'll tell you all about those as they come about. But when we return, we're going to link up with Mike Mullis, preview ECU baseball's series against South Florida, which begins tomorrow here in Greenville.
Oh, I'm very ready.
Okay, ready?
You ready?
Streaming to the world at 94.3thegame.com. This is the Patrick Johnson Show. Now in all his glory, here's the P-Man.
We are going to be at the Red Banks Road location of East Carolina Weight Loss this afternoon. There right now, and we'll be there till 7 with an open house. You can get all the questions you want answered about East Carolina Weight Loss. This is a no-obligation engagement. So if you come there and you get to meet me and I understand some of the other radio stars from around the market, I'll be the biggest star, not in weight because I've lost so much. See what I did there, Dom? But just in ego, well, in talent, if we're being honest. And I'll be there. You can stop by. It is located at 540C Red Banks Road in Greenville. East Carolina Weight Loss. I've dropped approximately 50 pounds with it. Still have a ways to go, but I'm going to get there. And I'm doing it in a way that is safe, a way that's not using drugs. You're not counting calories. You're not counting points. You're eating real food. You can go to a restaurant and eat. Not doing those shots, which have so many bad side effects. So you can come out and get all the questions answered you want at East Carolina Weight Loss from now until 7 o'clock at their open house. Let's say hello to the one and only Mike Mullis, ESPN Plus baseball analyst, who I am very excited that I'll get a chance to work with, if all things hold, on Wednesday. ECU and VCU. The day after my birthday, Mike, feel free to bring my gift that evening to the booth. And we welcome you back into the Patrick Johnson Show as it's a Mully Thursday. Hello, Mike.
Hey, buddy. I think me just being there and us being able to spend quality time will be gift enough.
Can we split a bottle of red during the game, maybe?
Well, and I will tell you, you look great, and you are to be commended, with your effort and consistency with adhering to what the good folks have told you and keep grinding.
Well, thank you. It's actually been quite easy because you know, Mike, how soft I am. If it's hard, I'm giving up. So, Mike, Mully told me last year during a broadcast, you're soft. So. It's the truth. It's the truth, right? Truth hurts. Listen to you. Mike, boy, I tell you, the situation right now that and the uncertainty that surrounds the pitching is enough to kind of give you a little bit of indigestion if you're a Pirate fan, especially, I imagine, too, if you're Cliff Godwin.
Yeah, and I think, the key word there is uncertainty. There's a certain point. It's kind of like, if you're in sales, you want to hear yes or no. When you're managing a pitching staff, you're like, hey, are they healthy? Can they go or can they not go? And right now, specifically as it relates to Root and to Lunsford Schenkman, there's a lot of unknowns. I think Jake Hunter's case is probably a little more cut and dry. But, yeah, it's tough. It almost seems unfair. Program that has had such a great year and gotten to this point with only 12 games left and, you got 150 innings from the season that are on the shelf, and one of them's the leads the nation in ERA, and the other one's your Saturday night starter who's had a great year. So, yeah, it's tough, but resilience, and, Coach Godwin and staff always preach next man up, and that's what it's going to have to be.
Well, you still have Trey Savage, and you still have him as your Friday night guy, and, you're going to get a stellar outing from you, Savage, more often than not. And even his B stuff's better than a lot of – hell, his C stuff's better than a lot of people's A stuff. So, I think you'll have that. Now, how much extra pressure Trey will take on to himself. It's interesting, too, Mike, before I continue to opine, one thing I wanted to ask you about with Savage is it almost seems like he becomes tougher when he gets some traffic on the base paths. I don't know if it's that closer mentality, but, it's almost like he hones in a little bit more and it doesn't bother him. He's unflapped by the traffic.
Well, that's a big part. That's what you want out of your number one guy, regardless of the level, that when they get a runner on, that they find a way to bear down. I thought you were kind of going down the path. Trey is also like a lot of guys we've seen in the history of baseball that are really good arms, and maybe that's, opening up way too broad of a scope, but when he gets through the first, he may have three strikeouts in the first, but he will typically throw a lot of pitches. When he gets through the first, he settles in. He still piles up strikeouts, but he becomes – it's like he's pitching downhill the rest of the way. And I think a lot of that has to go to the credit of the offense. Riley Johnson, when he gets on base, the percentage of them scoring – when he gets on base to lead off a game, rather, the percentage of them scoring in that inning is super high. So, it's you go out there, pitch with a lead, and Trey Savage is as good as it gets. And again, that's the kind of the unfortunate part about this whole thing.
Yeah, Mike, give me some names that need to step up at least this weekend.
I think we've seen Chris Kaler be really good against an Elon team that's maybe down a little bit, but. We've seen his ability. We've seen him pitch in rhythm and be good for the staff. We've seen him good out of the pen. We've also seen him have some tough innings. But I think Chris Kaler, Jaden Winter needs to find it. And I think probably the biggest wild card and the guy that has the best front end stuff, but has really struggled with his location. As everybody knows, it's probably Eric Ritchie, and I don't know where the trust factor is with the team and Ritchie right now. But man, if he could almost miraculously figure something out, that could be a great shot in the arm for that pitching staff. So, you know, it's really, when you take that 150 innings and the number of appearances that Lunkford Schenkman had out of the availability, you know, chart, it's really everybody down there has got to do a job. And that job might be come in, get a guy, get three or four outs, and be ready to go again the next day.
How about Ethan Norby? Where does he factor into some of this, Molly?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him. You know, again, a guy that has been really good out of the pen and has been a little bit bumpy as a starter. And, you know, I know the thought process now becomes that a lot of people say, well, you know, everybody's just got to give X number of innings and they can piece it together. The problem becomes somebody's got to take the ball to throw the first pitch of the game. Somebody's got to start or be the opener to get things going. We've seen Groler have success in that role. We've seen Norby kind of up and down there. Jaden Winter's been put out there midweek in that situation. So, well, again, one of those guys has to answer the bell and be the one that gets his team, you know, into the – maybe even into only the third inning,
right,
you know, with an opportunity.
Be good to get somebody that could go out there Saturday, assuming Root does not go, and could give you at least two, you know. And the problem is, sure, you got to do that again on Sunday.
That's right. And then turn around and do it on Tuesday and Wednesday, right, and then turn around the following. I mean, you know, it's 12 more games. I tell you one that's going to be interesting, and I've kind of heard it tossed around a little bit, and I don't know that they're quite ready for this, but maybe forced into it. You know, Kobe Wallace was a really good pitcher in high school, and trust me, there is quite the leap from being a really good pitcher in high school to being an average or serviceable pitcher at the level that East Carolina's at. But be interesting to see if we see that. You know, Cam Clonch is a guy that came in here as a two-way guy. So do we see those guys, you know, if the Pirates can jump out to a big lead in an effort to save what bullpen they do have, you know, do they go to a Kobe Wallace or a Cam Clonch and say, hey, man, can you know, just get us these three outs. You got to, you know, we're going to give you a 10-run lead or 8-run lead.
Right.
Just get us these three outs and see if we can save an arm.
We got Mike Mullis on the line with us here. Mully will be on the call of ESPN Plus's broadcast on Friday night, 6 o'clock first pitch between the Pirates and USF. We'll talk a little bit about USF as we go on here. You know, the other guy who has been kind of interesting is Parker Thomas, Danny Beal too, but Parker Thomas is a guy that has shown the ability to have some stuff at times.
Just a guy we don't have enough work on yet. You know, yeah, it's a guy that we've seen a glimpse of. You know, the nice thing for a guy like Parker Thomas, and I want you to think about it at the big league level, at the best level of the game, you see guys that you've never heard of go out and throw no hitters.
Yeah.
And part of that is the information. You know, there's really good information out there about Treya Savage and Zach Rude and Danny Beal. I mean, because they've shown so much. But you can sometimes get a guy out of the pen that all of a sudden kind of puts it together, and you couple that with the fact that there's just not as much information out there about him. And, you know, you can steal a game or you can steal some innings at least. So, you know, he's a guy that you very well may see. I think all bets are off, PJ. I think, you know, they're to the point where for these last 12 games, and I'll tell you, I think and this D1 Baseball and Aaron Fitt kind of had this comment too. I think that they've got to win, I mean, no less than 10 of these last 12 games. And quite frankly, it'd be very nice for them to win all 12,
right,
obviously, for the opportunity to be a top 8 national seed. Now, I am not saying to host a regional. I'm saying to have the opportunity to host all the way through.
Yeah. Mike Mullis with us here as we continue on to the Patrick Johnson Show. What's interesting about that, and you know how much we love the fans, but you know, they were all gooey britches over D1 Baseball ranking East Carolina 5. And when that 8 national seed came out in their projections, oh, it was like they did the promposal and the girl said no. I mean, these, you know, there was a lot of confusion and sadness, I didn't know D1 baseball was the end-all, be-all, number one. Number two, I think that that projection number is fairly realistic, though. I mean, just to me, that makes the most sense. Now, they could move up, but, you know, where are you on that projection number, Mully?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it goes back to the fact that East Carolina's coming out of the whichever 7th, 8th rated conference in the country. So the conference RPI certainly does not help. The out-of-conference strength of schedule and RPI is a huge factor and has obviously buoyed the hopes and dreams to this point. But, you know, to think a top 8 national seed, I mean, let's go back to when we saw that last time. And you had a team that started off the season 22, 23 games in, sitting right around 500. They go on one of the most amazing and, again, miraculous winning streaks that I've ever experienced, winning 22 in a row.
Right.
And nobody's more surprised than everybody in Pirate Nation when all of a sudden they are a, you know, a national seed. So this thing, it's in the – yeah, and to your point, D1 baseball is not the end-all, be-all. I do think that D1 baseball's information – is as credible, if not maybe more credible than anybody's that's out there. Those guys would fit and Kendall. I mean, that whole crowd is very tied in to the college baseball world. It's not, these are baseball guys, Cal Peterson being the, you know, the kind of the number one guy. These are guys that they know what they're looking at, and they also have great sources of information. So, and the affiliation with ESPN obviously doesn't hurt anything.
Sure.
But what it's all going to come down to is what the committee sees. And, you know, the question becomes, all right, the Pirates reel off the next 12. Well, they still have a conference tournament.
Right, I was going to ask you about that.
So, so, I mean, what do they need to do there? Do they, if they reel off all 12 and they go in there and go 0-2, which would be in the best benefit of the program probably to come back and catch their breath knowing that they did what they needed to do. But then all of a sudden, is that recency bias going to play in and go, hey, the last two times we saw them, they lost out in the conference tournament in a conference that, quite frankly, is not very good.
I think it's cliche, but I think they're all going to count. I just think, you know, you got to get – I'm like you – somewhere in the next 12 to maybe 14 games, you got to get 10 wins, 11 wins.
Yeah.
And then
I agree. I don't think you can. I definitely don't think you could drop more than two. And if you look at the midweek games that are coming up, and we're not looking past USF by any stretch of the imagination. But when you've got Duke coming in, you've got VCU coming in, and then you've got Campbell coming in, those are big games. But honestly, if you're going to lose one at this point in the season, I don't know that if it almost feels like if you lose to USF at home. And remember, being at home, being in a neutral site, or being on the road, all way different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the trip to Tulane is big. It's big. It's a chance to bolster the RPI. If you lose to a USF or Rice at home, it can be very detrimental to the RPI. And again, we're talking about as it relates to being a national seed. And I want people to understand, I'm not saying that we're not going to host a regional, and if this happens, we're out of the picture. I think to get to that point, you would have to really stumble maybe to like a 6-6 mark, something like be to where you go somewhere as a two seed.
Yeah. Be interesting to see. I just got to go out and win. And I know that's much easier said than done at this point. Mike Mullis is with us here. All right, Molly, Carter Cunningham, the player of the week in the American this past week. I know Cliff Godwin has, you know, certainly said a lot of things about Carter Cunningham, which all seem to ring true about how he's playing loose. But I mean, what are you seeing with the scouting and coaching eye that Cunningham is doing that's so effective?
You know, we've always thought, or I've always thought that I liked Carter as a player, and that it was maybe some unfulfilled potential at the plate. But man, even going back into the fall and watching him and his approach at the plate, and a lot of that does come with the mental freedom of not fearing the result. But I'm going to tell you, man, he really has worked himself into becoming an elite bat. And when he's driving the ball the other way, when he gets that going, man, he's just really hard to get out. And, you know, and that doesn't negate the fact that he can pull the ball, you know, into the gap out of the park. So he just, again, man, he's just locked in. I think it, you know, it will be interesting when we come around to draft time to see what, you know, the guys that get paid to have an opinion think. But he is certainly achieved at his potential level this year. I will not say overachieved, because I do think we are just seeing fulfilled potential from him. And then you turn around and see what Jacob Starling is doing coming back.
Yeah.
Has been equally, maybe if not more impressive. It's very difficult to go, you know, 2 weeks without any really live competitive at bats against another team, and then come out and hit for the cycle, and then have the weekend that, you know, that he had this past weekend. But, you know, 14 for 16, I think, was Carter Cunningham's weekend.
Yeah.
And you do that, how can you not be the player of the week and player of the, you know, I mean, that's just unheard of. That's slow pitch softball number.
Yeah. Let's ask you about JJC really quick here. You know, I think the season kind of wears on him a little bit because of his frame, and he's a big guy. And, you know, we know that he, you know, puts a lot on himself, carries a lot on his shoulders. Maybe he's been a little better about that this season, but, you know, he had a pretty productive first game of the Memphis series, drove in 3 runs there. He's got to obviously produce at a high level from here on out over these next dozen and into the postseason.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I will say that, I mean, I first off, he is a very charismatic young man. He plays the game the right way. He loves playing the game. It is a game to him. I'd like to see him with a little more plate discipline. I mean, he is a early work guy. You know, he's going to get on a pitch early in the count. And you know, sometimes he's a guy that doesn't see a pitch he doesn't think he can hit. So he's going to swing at maybe some pitcher's pitches. He's going to put them in play a lot. But, you know, you got to feel like, man, if he could work himself into more, you know, hitter's counts, 2-0, 3-1, even 1-0 counts, you know, he may find a little better pitch to hit. But, you know, some guys just can't do that, and they want to go out and, you know, get off a swing early. And I think, you know, JC's one of those guys. But you're right, he's a guy that the Pirates desperately need.
Let me ask you about USF. Give us a little bit of the scout on them. 500 overall, 2 games under in the American coming in.
Yeah, .289 batting average, for what that's worth. They not a ton of home runs. They it's not really their deal. And I say not a ton, 44, so kind of right where, you know, in the same ballpark as the Pirates. But pitch it at a 6 clip. And I'll be honest with you, I think their record, you know, we talked about, like, with UTSA's record going into that weekend, the record didn't match the team. I think this record matches this team almost perfect. I mean, it's when you go through the stats, and I've really just started grinding on the stats to get ready for tomorrow, but just a cursory view, the numbers kind of make you feel like, you know, hey, hitting .289 is not bad, but pitching it at a 6 clip is probably where the makeup is. And I think, you know, I fully expect to see some high scoring games this weekend. I maybe get outside of Friday's game. Friday's, you know, you got your Savage and the Pirates can score a bunch of runs, but I think you'll see both teams score a lot of runs. I wouldn't even be surprised to have something that, you know, kind of flirts with a football score at, you know, in one of these 3 games.
Molly, Duke is coming in Tuesday. You'll have that one in the booth as well. Blue Devils are in the top 10. You know, I think you look at the ACC and the SEC to a degree too. All of those teams just beat up on each other, you know, and you win a series in the ACC, you've done something, you know. Hell, to win a conference game some weekends is a big accomplishment. What about Duke? You know, I don't think there's a shortage of arms there. They've had some moments where they've been really offensive this year. Kind of the early look at the Blue Devils after this weekend.
You know, PJ, I would say that if there is a shortage of arms, and, you know, and this is based off the standard that Chris Pollard and the staff at Duke have set for that program, they do have a shortage of midweek arms. They've not had great success in the midweek. And, I mean, we saw them just a couple weeks ago get, I mean, absolutely annihilated by Campbell, who, you know, Campbell's another interesting one. Their first 3 starters are down on the mound. So, But, you know, Duke's a team that's going to hit it. That, my friend, is a game that I fully expect there'll be some fireworks in that game Tuesday night.
Pollard's done you look at the job he's done on the whole, and it's pretty remarkable. Because, I mean, they play in a dump. They're back there after, you know, a few years of playing in the Bulls Park, which isn't it's a great park, but it's not your park. And, I mean, Duke baseball was not even an afterthought when he took over.
Yeah, Chris has done a great job with that program. And, you know, coming from, you know, he's kind of been at all levels of the game. And, you know, Duke to me reminds me of what Rice used to be. It's a very academic institution, both, obviously. Matter of fact, Rice would kind of refer to themselves as the Duke of Texas. And, you know, so what he's done there kind of takes me back to, you know, those games. And then you look at the transfers or the grad transfers that Duke has brought in, all from really high-level academic schools that have had quite an impact on that club. And some good stories about, you know, a kid that wasn't going to play.
Right, yeah.
They were going to cut him and what, you know, and then he's turned into a great player. So, I mean, it's kind of it's an interesting cobbling. You know, he's pulled that thing together, and it is, you know, it is maybe the epitome of the sum total of the parts. But, you know, Tuesday night, again, I think, you know, this kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. This weekend's going to have a huge bearing on Tuesday for both teams,
right?
Because they just are not pitching rich. So, but you have both teams that have really, really high-powered offenses. So,
okay,
it could be a fun game to watch for the casual observer of college baseball. It could also be a very, very long game to watch because we could see a ton of runs scored in that game.
And this week, NC State gets swept by UNCW in the season series. How about the Seahawks? There's a chance they could make it in as an at-large, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, and I think UNCW is probably the biggest benefactor of all the in state anyway, of all the kind of shuffling and injuries that are happening around the Carolinas. So, you know, you had a big injury at State, losing Hogue with the broken tibia and fibula, and you know, so he was one of their better guys. And so, I mean, just a lot going on. I don't know that we kind of started talking about this as Major League Baseball launched the number of arm injuries at the major league level, but now it seems like it's just a vast array of a variety of different types of injuries, but they're just kind of coming in buckets. And I don't know if that's kind of the thing of, you know, you go buy a white Tacoma truck because you never saw one, and then all of a sudden every intersection has a white Tacoma truck. I don't know, but it sure seems like the injuries are bountiful right now.
Mully, you're the best, my friend. Always good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to being with you this week. And, you know, again, you don't even have to wrap the gift. Just bring it.
I'll have something nice.
Can we split a bottle of red during the broadcast? That's just all I need to know.
I don't think we need to put that out over the airways, but, Bob Uecker made a career out of it. So
did the great Harry Carey.
Yeah, great Harry Carey, that's right. So we would not be in uncharted waters.
I mean, it's a sipping beverage, so we're not going to guzzle it down.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard too. All right, hey, Mully, thanks a lot. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night on the Tube.
Absolutely, buddy. See you soon.
Awesome to have Mike Mullis with us. He's the best. Always good. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show, but not before Dom Kosolke. We'll join you for a 94.3 The Game sports update and Pirate Report. That's on the other side.
ECU baseball tomorrow night with USF traveling to Greenville. Game starts at 6, and the pregame can be heard at 5:45 on 94.3 The Game with Scooter Rogers on the call. East Carolina sophomore Lucas Augustin has been named to the Americans Men's Golf All-Conference team for the second consecutive year, as voted upon on the league's 12 head coaches. Augustin, who became the seventh different Pirate to earn AAC All-Conference honors a year ago, is the eighth player in program history to earn multiple All-League honors, joining Harold Varner, Mark Miller, Jason Harris, Andre Thorson, David Watkins, Wes Conover, and Blake Taylor. On the year, Augustin posted a team best 71.29 stroke average, the second best single season average, and registered 7 top 10 finishes in 12 events. East Carolina Lacrosse's Francis Kimmel, Ellie Bromley, and Alexandra Giacalone have been tabbed American Athletic Conference All-Conference, the league announced Wednesday. Kimmel earned first-team recognition, while Bromley and Giacalone both earned second-team nods. The Hurricanes are once again in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that won't guarantee their head coach stays. According to the Raleigh News and Observer, confidants close to Rod Brind'Amour say he may become unsure about his future in Carolina. TSN added that while Brind'Amour wants to stay, he may have to test the market if an agreement can't be reached. The Canes will face the New York Rangers after eliminating the Islanders in round one. And the NBA playoffs continue tonight with the Bucks and the Pacers at 6:30. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo both are looking to come back tonight, but nothing is confirmed. The Pacers lead the series 3-2, and they're favored by 6.5 points. And that's it for your sports update. Patrick will be right back after this quick break on 94.3 The Game.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
Final few minutes of the show. Thanks to Mike Mullis for being on with us a little earlier. As expected, confirmed by Cliff Godwin earlier this afternoon, and that is Jake Hunter is officially done for the season due to his injury, which he suffered in the Memphis game Sunday. Godwin also saying that Zach Root and Wyatt Lunsford-Schenkman are getting better, and they will pitch again this season, but the timetable remains uncertain. It's still a day-to-day thing. I would be pleasantly so, but stunned if we saw them this weekend. At least if we saw Root this weekend, maybe. Maybe Lunsford-Schenkman would be ready to go. I don't know the extent of what is ailing these guys. I know it's two different things, as Cliff told us, but I think that you are looking at probably, ideally, you keep these guys kind of shut down and let them get another weekend of rest. We'll see, but you know, the sad news, Jake Hunter is done for the season. The Kentucky Derby is going on this weekend. There has been, of course, I don't think it's on the apps in North Carolina that you can place a bet on. I'll check that for tomorrow, maybe. But I for some reason, it seems like that the horse racing, I was told, was not on there. The Derby is taking place Saturday. Most betted on or most bet on horse racing event every year. One bettor didn't wait that long, though he placed a massive $100,000 wager on Derby favorite Fierceness. Did so yesterday. The wager was made when Fierceness had 4-5 odds. The final odds for the bettor won't be determined until wagering closes. Unlike fixed odds betting, all bets on the horse will be the final number determined on Saturday. And that's not a great payout. Those are big odds to be rolling out there. Or big dollars to be rolling out there for the odds as they are. That doesn't, but they don't begin running that until just before 7. I'm trying to think Saturday. I'm probably will be somewhere where I could watch it. Will you? Do you watch that, Dom? Is that something that interests you at all, the Kentucky Derby? I mean, I know you're not Pilkington, who's a total sports nerd, but
no, it doesn't interest me that much. But you were talking about betting, and you know, I thought this would be the first year I could bet on it, but apparently now it's not on the books in North Carolina. It's kind of lame.
There's something to do with not paying. I don't know. But apparently not anything you can bet on this year in the state.
I would have bet on it.
Well, okay. Well, if you go to a derby party, do you have like seersucker in your repertoire, Dom, being from Wilmington? It would seem like you would.
I've been to my neighbors. We'll do a derby party, and we do like a drawing or whatever.
Right.
I forget how that works.
Yeah.
But I think I'd, I actually think I won it 1 year and won like $50. We all put in like $5.
There you go.
You know, that's what started my gambling addiction. So.
nothing to sneeze at there, Dom. Yeah. Nothing to sneeze at. Do you, but do you own Seersucker? You never answered the question, Dom.
What does that mean?
All right, then you don't know. If you don't know what Seersucker is, I would venture to guess you don't own it.
I would agree.
It's a type of, you know, fabric or material for a suit.
Then no, I do not.
Okay. Well, what'd you wear to the Derby party? You had to dress a little preppy or a little outlandish.
That was a long time ago, man. Okay. I do not remember.
All right. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're scheduled to have Shane Winkler, ECU softball coach. He'll be playing their final series of the season. And then they will leave for Wichita, Kansas for the AAC softball tournament, which is a single elimination format. They'll have UAB in town starting tomorrow. They will have ESPN Plus coverage on Saturday and Sunday. I'll have the call of those games with Brittany Hoyt at 2 on Saturday and at noon Sunday with Courtney Layton. It looks like the weather's going to be a little more cooperative now for the weekend than originally thought. But we'll still keep an eye on everything. I heard today one of the meteorologists say is, you know, don't cancel your weekend plans, but, you know, maybe have a provision in case a little bit of rain does come through. But it's not an all weekend rain out by any stretch of the imagination. It'll be more dry time than anything, it would appear. And I think we're going to have Chris Hughes on tomorrow from CarolinaPreps.com. Chris is currently revamping the website, wanted to get a little reaction to this Big 32 format. As I understand it, Rose, South Central, and Conley would be in the 7A classification, and even New Bern not in danger of getting wedged into this Big 32 8A classification. I mean, all that, again, is Charlotte, Triad, and maybe some Triangle schools would be in the Big 32. Also, it looks like that if you have rooting interest in Farmville and North Pitt and Aiden, all of them will basically stay in the same conference because they'll be in the same classification. I don't think there's going to be a ton of change. You know, where Rose, Conley, and South Central may wind up conference-wise could shift a little bit, but I think by and large it's going to be the same, and it's going to still be a split conference of some kind. But we'll see. All right, back in the morning on Talk of the Town on Talk 103.7 WTIB and the IBX Media app from 7 to 9. And then back here at 5 o'clock tomorrow before Pirate Baseball with Shane Winkler and Chris Hughes for the Patrick Johnson Show at 5 on 94.3 The Game and the IBX Media app. Don't forget, we are out there with an open house at East Carolina Weight Loss on Red Banks Road until 7 tonight. So come on by and see us there and tell you all about East Carolina Weight Loss. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody.